If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Do the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center after a 4-3 overtime loss for the Chicago Blackhawks against the Carolina Hurricanes. Troy, you know what this means.
I know. Sad music.
By the way, I did run into Carolyn earlier, and she said if we want any organ requests after wins, to let her know. So this is a yes. So we'll get that. Unfortunately, it's a loss for Chicago in this one tonight. Hawks had a decent first period. They led this hockey game 2-0 through the first 20 minutes of hockey, but unfortunately find a way to lose this game 4-3 in overtime. Overall thoughts on the game, Troy?
Similar theme that we've seen the last three games.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this one was a little bit more tilted in favor of Carolina than we saw in Nashville and in Vegas. And, you know, 48 shots. They got to find a way to cut down these shots in the second and third period. They gave up 14 in the first, 14 in the second, 19, and then one. 91 shot attempts. And what did we talk about at the beginning of the broadcast was Carolina throws everything towards the net, whether it gets blocked, whether it missed. That's what they want to do all the time. And they certainly were able to do it. They controlled the offensive zone. Hawks got to kill those plays quicker and find a way to exit the zone with some kind of consistency with puck possession and get it into the offensive zone under some forechecking. I thought the first period was pretty good as far as, you know, even as far as how much time the Blackhawks spent in the offensive zone and Carolina, but really tilted the second period, and the third period was kind of the same thing. It just get worn down in your own end of the ice, and it's just kind of a similar theme where all you can do is try and get it out of the zone, and then you're looking for a line change, so you're not establishing any kind of forecheck. Frustrating to figure it out, but, you know, again, Peter Mrazek was excellent in this game. I didn't think he was tested all that much in the first period, even with the 14 shots, just long-range shots that he was able to see. But the intensity was picked up by Carolina, and they had more pressure in front of the net, and it got a lot tougher for Mrazek. But it's kind of mystifying to look at the shots here the last three games and how you can cut it down. And it's not only the shots on goal, it's the shot attempts that the other team has been throwing at the Hawks. And they got to figure it out somehow to cut down those plays. You got to bear down, and when you have a board battle, win those battles, have support, and able to move the puck out under, you know, possession. I think the forwards can do a better job of finding themselves into a position where you're looking at the defenseman. The defenseman's under pressure; he's trying to find an out. And if he sees somebody in better positioning rather than being out, and the one thing Carolina did and really outbattled the Blackhawks, I thought, in this game was their defense very active, pinching down the boards, and the Hawks just didn't win a lot of those battles, which kept plays alive. And those plays, when they're kept alive, really destroy how much energy you have and what you can do. And if you're tired and your legs start to seize up with the lactic acid at the end of a long shift, not much you can do, just trying to get off the ice and survive.
You mentioned the 48 shots on goal by Carolina. Every single player on the Hurricanes roster recorded a shot on goal. Only five of them had fewer than two. So five of them had one shot on goal. Everyone else had two or more. So, I mean, this was a well-rounded effort by Carolina, not just one or two lines dominating.
Yeah, Hawks could have got away with it if Mrazek was just spot on in the third period. The one play that they did score on when Stahl scored with about 6.5 to go in the period, he thought he had it, and it was in between his pads, and the referee, give him a lot of credit. He was in great position standing behind the net, seeing that the puck, there was a great camera angle where the puck was in between the pads of Mrazek underneath his seat, And he just couldn't. He thought he had it. And I give credit to the referee to be in that spot to not blow the play dead. And Carolina, if it's a free puck, you could go after it. Stahl was able to poke it into the net. So frustrating for Peter Mrazek, the way that he played in this game, and Soderblom, and same thing with Mrazek last game against Vegas. I mean, the goaltending has been really good here, even though they haven't got the points that they want to, but at the same time, they've got points in three straight games.
That play that you're talking about where Mrazek, the puck was underneath him and the ref didn't blow the whistle, I mean, one part of me is like, man, to get into that area to get the puck, like, he's going to have to jab Mrazek. So it's like, how do you wrestle with, okay, the puck is loose, but at the same time, in order for someone to go get that puck, like, you're probably going to need to go inside the goaltender. And so how do you wrestle with that?
Well, you know, if you're the Blackhawks defenseman, and, you know, it happened, there were so many people around there, and everybody was trying to figure out where the puck was. And again, if the referee's on the other side, he probably right. blows that play dead. But he, you know, you stay away from the play, and then when it moves to the net, you put yourself in a position to see where that puck is. And there was a great camera angle from behind the net where you saw the referee, and he's looking square at the puck that is underneath the pads or in between the pads of Peter Mrazek. But yeah, the one thing you can do better there is when, you know, you're in that situation, defense just start clearing guys out. And I don't think anybody from the Blackhawks was trying to clear anybody out of there. They were all looking for the puck and trying to help Peter Mrazek. Well, forget about Peter Mrazek and helping him out. Clear out those guys. Don't let them have that opportunity and take the crease area out of the equation and let Peter find the puck. But, you know, Jordan Stahl has been doing this his whole career, and really impressive by him to battle hard and find that puck and, you know, tie up the game. And then they executed well. I thought, you know, for how many seconds was it into overtime?
49,
John says. You know, I thought that...
59.
59, so almost a minute. You doing your math over there, John, or you're trying to figure it out?
John and I have the same math equations in our head.
Yeah. Well, the game's going to start soon in Calgary because it's midnight there. But inside joke.
Calgary's not playing today. Just saying.
Okay. Well, there you go. I forgot the question.
Where are we going with overtime?
You know what? I thought Connor Bedard should have changed. The Carolina, before they came down the ice, they had to go in behind their net. And I think that was an opportunity for just Connor to go off there. He had been out there for about 45 seconds. You know, get somebody out there with fresh legs. Not that he didn't defend the right way or whatever, but just that little extra energy to you know, get your stick in the passing lane, whatever. It was a perfect play by Natchez, but, you know, too much room defensively for him to move and make that play. You want to shut that down a little bit quicker. And I think Connor is a guy that he wants to have the puck, and he didn't touch the puck the whole minute that they were out there. So, you know, get off on the ice, get somebody out there that's fresh, and then you continue on there. But give credit to Carolina. They're a good hockey team, and they've been one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference for a lot of years, and they showed us why.
I thought Nazar had an opportunity to change, too, because he was out there for, what, 45, the same amount of time, and he really hunted that puck down. And then after forechecking, I thought he was going to veer to the left and go to the bench, and he veered to the right, and I'm like, oh, now he's caught in a bad...
Yeah, and you're absolutely right on that, because if you're skating as hard as you can to negate something in the offensive zone, you've just expended a lot of energy. Right. Now you got to turn around. You got to come flying back and try and defend a very quick team in overtime 3-on-3. And you got to be back in position because there's nobody else back there to help you. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it was on the kind of the same play that it was in there. And, you know, Bedard was out near the blue line kind of thing. He was looking for something to happen, and it didn't happen. You know, get off the ice. And you know, that if Nazar's in there on the forecheck, that's the opportunity for him to get off. You know, don't wait and then, you know, hope that the attack's not going to come from Carolina, but it did. And maybe you just didn't have the legs that you were hoping for after a minute shift.
Speaking of Connor Bedard, Hawks are up 2-0 in this game. They get a power play in the second. He turns it over at the blue line. Carolina scores a shorty to make it 2-1. I mean, we've pumped Connor's tires all season long on this, but those are the kinds of plays that he needs to understand when to make. Like, I know he's so creative, and he's one of the best in the NHL statistically in zone entries, but that's a play that, rather than trying to dance around a couple of defenders or penalty killers try to dump that puck in and not let it lead to a shorthanded rush the other
way. Well, Slavin is one of the best defensive defensemen in the NHL, and he made a nice play. I mean, Bedard comes down there. He's right-handed. He's got it on his backhand. He tries to, you know, do a little backhand saucer pass over to the right side there, but Slavin knocked it out of the air, and everybody else on the Blackhawks, you got four guys going into the zone thinking that, that's where the puck's going to end up, and all of a sudden, the quick transition, and even Seth Jones was following up the play there as well, and he had no chance to turn around and catch Jarvis on that play. But, you know, those are the plays that we talk about that you can't do. That's a self-inflicted mistake, and I don't want to take the creativity away from Connor, and if he goes down there again, he's going to read the play, and give credit to Slavin. If I'm sitting here and I'm talking about the Blackhawks doing that exact same play, if it's Seth Jones, you know, knocking the puck out of the air and turning around in transition, I'm going, man, what a great play by Seth Jones. So, you know, we're doing the Chicago broadcast. Carolina's doing their broadcast. They're probably talking about what a great play that was by Slavin to shut that play down to start the transition. So you got to tip your hat to the Carolina.
Yeah, and Slavin is legitimately one of the best defensive defenseman in the NHL to make those kinds of plays.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been rock solid, and that's the way he plays. He's not a flashy type of defenseman. He's not a Cale Makar. He's not one of those kind of defensemen, but, you know, I'd take him on my team anytime and put him on my first pair as an all-around great defenseman.
Frank Nazar, these last few games playing on a line with Connor, I know we were just critiquing the two of them, but both of them created multiple scoring chances in this game, and Nazar specifically, his speed was incredibly noticeable in this game. Like, there were multiple shifts where he had some incredible straight line speed, even on that 2-on-0 that was brewing towards the end of that period with Tyler Bertuzzi. He got hooked at the end of that. If not, I mean, he's hitting his top speed and it's a 2-on-0.
I think there was a couple times in this game where he was, and Carolina is very aggressive with their defensemen. If you can get pucks past their defensemen when they're in pinching inside the offensive zone, you're going to create an odd man rush. And I thought Frank Nazar, with his speed, created those odd man rushes. I know once on Bertuzzi, once on Bedard coming down there, he was open on the backside there because of his speed. And really noticeable the way that he's played the game. He's just not getting pucks to go in. That I think that's going to come because you're getting those chances. And I had the conversation with him the other day about, you know, just keep going. They're going to come. And he kind of said, well, I hope so. I mean, this is kind of getting a little bit frustrating because he's creating a lot of quality opportunities, not only for himself, but for his line mates as well, because of he's the guy that gets in there and disrupts plays. So I like what I've seen from Nazar. And he was, again, as you said, Charlie, very noticeable in this game. And I thought Lucas Reichel, again, was noticeable in this game.
Yeah. The with Nazar specifically moving to the wing on Connor's line, I kind of like him on the wing more than I like him at center. I know it's way too early to project, is he going to be a permanent wing, permanent center? It's nice that he can play both, but once you have all these guys in the pipeline start to come up and you can picture, you know, whether Oliver Moore is a center or a wing, or Sasha Boisvert, you can slot him down and you kind of see what centers. I really like Nazar's creativity on the wing specifically.
And he's, you know, I like it at this level. I mean, center to me is the hardest position to play at this level. You've got defensive responsibilities. You've got face-off responsibilities. The wingers in a lot of ways, and it changes it because everything is not as specific as you draw it up on there. The first guy back into your own zone has got to have the responsibility of the third guy down low. You can have a switch at some point, but when you're playing with Nazar, he's a winger, and he's got the speed to get back into the zone, so he can go back into his own zone and assume that center position until they get puck possession, and then they can switch it around. Or once Connor comes back into the zone, they can make a switch and figure out who's going to go to the winger or who's going to play the center role down there. But it's the toughest position in the NHL. There's just a lot of responsibilities. You're kind of like the quarterback out there of your line, and so it's not easy. And for a young guy to come in there and try and figure out how to play center at this level is really tough. A little bit easier. Your responsibilities are a little bit less as far as a winger. You can kind of just go up and down and patrol that side. And it doesn't put you in a position where you have to figure out, you know, where everything else is going there, because a centerman could be coming in the zone on the left side, the right side, or down the middle. If you're a winger, you're basically coming back and staying in front of your defensemen. So the responsibilities are a lot different. But I like the way that Nazar has been playing. And I think that when you look at it, Sorensen sees that he's creating a lot of stuff. He's using his speed, and he's getting the ice time. And it's warranted ice time.
Last one for you. Pat Maroon did not play in this game because of a back injury. So that allowed Philip Kurashev to get back into the lineup. Played on the fourth line. He scores a goal and adds a secondary assist. So he had 2 points in this game. That had to feel good for him personally, confidence-wise.
Yeah, real quickly about Maroon, you know, fights in two straight games. Coming into this game, a little bit of a back injury, it sounds like, from what Sorensen was talking about this morning. Tweaked it a little bit. But the Carolina Hurricanes, the only team in the NHL that do not have a fighting major. So there wasn't really an opportunity for Maroon to do what he did the last couple games, to try and set the tone, to change the tone, whatever it is, in this game, because there's really not a dance partner out there. That being said, Kurashev, man, I'm so happy for him. Even though they lost, he's going to have a much better feeling about his game going back to his place tonight and thinking about it. And rather than being disappointed and going, oh, you know, man, another tough game for me, that was a strong game for him. Goal and assist. I thought that when he was out there on the ice, he was really noticeable in my mind of where his responsibilities were and where he had to kind of position himself defensively. And then he created. He was skating. He was, when he had opportunities, first period was his best period, and that was to go along with a lot of other guys. But he played strong and go to the net. Good things happened. He did that on his goal, made a nice little play to take a puck away for Carolina and create the third goal for the Blackhawks. So good for him. Really happy for him that he can, you know, feel a lot better about his personal game. I know he's going to be disappointed because you didn't get the win, but at the same time, I thought that he did a lot of good things right. And in his mind, I think it's going to ease a lot of the worries that he had been talking about and thinking about here the last little ball, not so much talking about it.
All right, we don't get to do this again until Friday. Got a whole week off.
What are you going to do?
Probably stay inside. Let's try to see the weather forecast for tomorrow. What is it supposed to be? Minus 100 with the wind chill?
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be very cold.
But we are in the middle of January, and we haven't had real bad weather yet. We really haven't had any snow, so
yeah,
a couple cold days. Just, you
that's
know,
okay.
Just stay inside and
drink
find your whoopee blanket or whatever you call it.
My what?
I don't know.
Whoopee?
Is that what the kids call them? Whoopees?
Blankies.
Oh, blankies. No, that's simple. Thanks, Z. Way to go there.
I'll take my niece's blanket. All right. We got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. It looks like Taylor Hall and Philip Kurashev spoke to the media, so we'll hear what they had to say on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Natchez crisscrossing with Aho over the hawk line down the left wing, pulls up in the circle, fed it across right circle. Aho shoots, he scores! Sebastian Aho with a game-winning goal at 59 seconds of overtime. It's Carolina 4 and Hawks 3.
Back here at the United Center on the Blackhawks postgame show. Blackhawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3 in overtime, squandering a 2-0 lead that they had in the first period. So unfortunately, Hawks don't pick up a victory in this game, but they do pick up a point. And that's the third straight game the Blackhawks have done so. So at least I know some of these losses earlier in the season, or for a majority of the season, the Hawks have been pushing games late, but they haven't been able to find ways to get it to overtime. And so the consolation is they get a point from this, so they don't come away totally empty-handed, but I'm sure it's not the result that the Blackhawks were hoping for after 20 minutes leading by two goals. Taylor Hall, he spoke to the media just a little bit ago. He finished with an assist in this game and 15:05 of ice time. Let's hear what he had to say about this 4-3 Blackhawks loss in overtime.
Well, this game for you, certainly couldn't have asked for Mrazek to do more to put you guys in a position to win that one.
No, I mean, he was awesome. I mean, he's been really good for a huge portion of the season, and you know, he works hard and he's always positive. He's a very good teammate, so that would have been a nice win to get for him, especially playing his former team. We just, you know, I think we got just a bit overwhelmed by, you know, their shot quantity and just how much time they spent in our end, and we couldn't hold on to a lead, you know, with that being said. So, yeah, I think just overall we we had a goalie that played more than well enough to get a win, and we couldn't do it.
Ryan Donato just always seems to be on the attack. What do you like about playing on the line with him?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good feel for one another. You know, I think when you start playing with a guy, it's important just to play to your strengths as players. And, you know, I've turned into a pretty good playmaker over the course of my career. And Donnie has a real feel for where to go. And when he does get chances, they tend to go in at a pretty good rate. And if he's in the slot, he's also got a really heavy shot. So that's all it is. I think he, you know, we've talked about I can transport it up the ice. I can, you know, get it into the zone, and he can find good areas to score and to get shots off. And I think he's added a bit of playmaking to his repertoire as well. Like, that was a really good pass to Kirsch. He's had a few of those this year where he's made a pinpoint pass on the back door. And, you know, our line's been holding water and holding serve, I mean, and it's been good to see.
I feel like you had a lot of chances, not just your line, but a lot of chances that just didn't connect for whatever reason.
Tonight?
Yes.
What's the question?
So do you feel like you had the team overall had a lot of chances that just didn't connect?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bert has that breakaway. Frankie had a couple good chances. You know, at the end, we did generate enough, you know, to win. But at the end of the day, we spent a lot of time in our end as the game wore on, and they leaned on us. And just as a five man unit, you know, as forwards, we didn't support the puck well enough to break it out of our end. And you know, wingers, we didn't do a good enough job on the wall, so they kept a ton of pucks in, and like I said, just kind of overwhelmed us at times throughout the game.
Second periods have been tough over the past few weeks, and I know you guys have talked about that. Is there something you feel like you guys could do better to break out of the pressure a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we're working on. You know, the second period's interesting. It's a lot about changes and momentum, and you know, even just getting the puck over the blue line and getting a face-off in the opposing end is a win a lot of the time. And it's about just time, you know, 50-50 shifts, and then all of a sudden you get a few where you can hem them in their end and you can get changes without them being able to change. It's almost like 3-on-3 overtime in that aspect, and we're working on it. We've talked about it, and we're getting a bit better, but it's something that you know, just kind of has to improve. And when you have a veteran team like Carolina on the other side, they're going to make you pay. It's, you know, especially if you make a couple mistakes. Thank you, Taylor.
That was Blackhawks forward Taylor Hall. Yeah, those second periods have been an Achilles heel for Chicago as of late. We saw it in the Vegas game the other day as well. And then similar to the game tonight, too, the Blackhawks get a very late goal in the second period to at least go into the third with a lead. But you look at some of the second period stats, and they've definitely been favored by the opponent. The final shot attempt total was 91-49 in favor of Carolina. Scoring chances were 38-18 Hurricanes. So they're legitimately one of the best teams in the NHL at puck possession and just peppering shots on the net. So no surprise that the Hawks had a really tough night defending Carolina, because they sure do come at you in waves, all four lines and all three defenseman pairings. We mentioned Philip Kurashev earlier. He drew back into the lineup after being a healthy scratch for four straight games, was in the lineup because Pat Maroon couldn't go because of a back injury, and he had a multi-point game, including a goal in this one. Let's hear what he had to say to the media after redrawing into Chicago's lineup.
You guys were right there. How tough was Carolina making it to generate anything the second half?
Yeah, no, I mean, they definitely started playing really well in that second period, and, you know, they had, like, what, 48 shots or something like that, and Peter kept us in it, so it was tough to not get that win for him.
Peter, to get back in the lineup, get a couple points, and feel like it's a step in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely nice for me personally, but, you know, now it's, you know, we got to do it again and try to help the team more.
What was working well for your line, at least for a certain period?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't always pretty, and we definitely didn't have always good shifts, but I think we just try to keep it simple and work off each other. And you know, those two guys are great players, so it was fun overall.
What about working with Donato in particular, or how did he help with your guys' production?
No, he's having a pretty good year, you know, and he knows where to go to get that scoring opportunities, and he has a great shot and made some nice plays to me as well, so it was fun playing with him.
That was Blackhawks forward Philip Kurashev. I think the key quote of that about his personal success in this game was, now I've got to do it again, because I think that consistency has been the challenge for Philip Kurashev, just doing it on a game-in, game-out basis, where we saw the offensive production last year, but it just has not been there this year. And so let's see if he can follow that up in the next game with another strong performance offensively. We've got more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game. Then we'll also hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Here's Jordan Staal scooping a backhander toward the net. Mrazek with a scrambling save. Loose puck in front and a scramble, and Mrazek comes up with it in his glove. You got to wonder sometimes, how does he find the puck to begin with to try and make the save? But Peter has that magic.
Tonight's save of the game is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Peter Mrazek was excellent in this hockey game. He faced a season-high 48 shots, made 44 saves. The save percentage is .917, but it feels like it was higher just because of the quality of chances that Carolina had, specifically in the second and third periods. And by the way, Mrazek came into this game with a 7-6-1 record in 14 games against the Carolina Hurricanes, his former team. .928 save percentage in those 14 appearances. So he really plays his former Carolina Hurricanes team well. And then his counterpart, Freddie Anderson, made 22 saves on 25 shots for a save percentage of .880. This was Anderson's first game since October 26th. So he was out for several months with a knee injury. He ended up having surgery a month later in November that knocked him out for a while. And so it was going to be important for Chicago to just pepper pucks on net because of Anderson's potential rust. And also, Carolina did not practice yesterday, and they didn't have a morning skate either today. So that it was an opportunity for Chicago to make sure that they can come out flying. Unfortunately, the Hawks fortunately do that. They get a 2-0 lead, but unfortunately they're not able to capitalize on it and get away with the win. So it was a fun goalie battle. Anderson, I know he only had 22 saves, but he made some big-time stops in this hockey game. So it was a fun goalie battle to watch. Anders Sorensen, he just spoke to the media a little bit ago, also provided an injury update on Jason Dickinson, who left the game late in the third period after taking a heavy shot to the arm. It sounded like positive news. So let's get to Sorensen right now as he talks about the 4-3 overtime loss.
Be a tough one regardless, but especially with the way that Peter played, it just a bitter pill to swallow to not be able to pull that one out for him.
He was obviously, you know, made some spectacular saves there, and so tough.
How is Dickens?
Should be fine. See you tomorrow, but should be fine.
48 shots, I believe, is a season high for shots against. What were the Hurricanes doing that was just so effective against you guys?
Yeah, I mean, they do that as a team. They've always done that, right? They funnel a lot of things to net, ready shoot from their D. They know they're coming there, and they have had that in place for a couple of years here. I think they're first in the league in shots so far. So it was, you know, I think we could have done a better job of holding them at bay a little bit, but yeah. Their D are getting shots through quickly, and then they find those pucks.
Three-handed goal. How do you get Bedard to be a little more careful with the puck without stifling his creativity?
Yeah, I think that play was tough. I think the guy poked it off his stick, right? So it's probably more of a really good defensive play than anything.
What do you think of Kershaw tonight?
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, really good response from him.
It seems like Ryan Donato is one of the few guys who just every night he brings it. He's always going. What is it about him that's allowed him to kind of have this season?
Yeah, great question. From my time here, you know, I think he's a really good pro, right? He prepares every day. He comes in. He's early at the rink. He asks the right questions, if it's through video or just on the ice. And he competes. He's a competitor. He wants to be in situations, and he wants to be in the moments that matter on the ice.
And I wish that other guys would adopt that attack mentality that he has, where it's like, if I've got a chance, I'm going to try to score on it.
Yeah. Well, I think they all do. I think everybody it comes through differently from different guys, right? But with him, it's very noticeable that he is emotionally invested in the game, and you can tell.
Second periods have been tough for a while now, and I know you guys have talked about it, but it's kind of got hemmed in for a lot of it again tonight. What did you think of how they've worked on the things you've talked about with that?
Yeah, I thought it was better tonight. Yeah, we did get hemmed in, and again, I think there's a team on the other side that wants to play, right? But I thought overall it was better than it's been. I know we didn't have a lot of shots, but we did have some looks. I think we missed the net on a couple of them, so I thought it was a step forward.
Anecdotally, it seems like you guys just never score on breakaways. Is there any way, I mean, short of just having shootout practice, is there a way you can improve on something like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. If you know the answer, you let me know. I think it's, yeah. You know, we do it in practice sometimes, shootouts and stuff like that, but it's, yeah.
It's just not a lot. I mean, you're either going to either finishing or you're not, I guess.
Yeah, and it's strange, right? Because sometimes you do get in the flow as a group, and all of a sudden you're scoring a bunch of them, right? So it's, yeah.
It seemed like Bedard, Nazar, and Bertuzzi had a lot of chances to connect, but just couldn't quite get it done right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was exactly right. A couple of them, we'd like to see them to be a little bit more attack mentality and shoot the puck a little bit more and not try to make that extra pass at times. But yeah, they did have some good looks though.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about this 4-3 loss, overtime loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN. It's time for our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning on Friday night at the United Center at 7:30. So you got a few days between games. Tampa Bay was in Toronto tonight, and the Maple Leafs took care of business, beating the Lightning 5-3. Prior to today, the Lightning were 5-1-1 since losing four in a row in regulation. And man, Tampa Bay is a very good hockey team this season. I know they made some tough decisions over the summer, letting Steven Stamkos go and signing Jake Guentzel. It seems like it has paid off. They're first in goals per game and 10th in goals against, 4th-ranked power play, 8th-ranked penalty kill. They have a plus 18 goal differential at 5-on-5, which ranks 4th in the NHL. And they also have the 5th best team save percentage at .904. So Andrei Vasilevskiy is having a bounce back year for Tampa after having a .900 save percentage last season. So this is a very well-rounded team in the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're obviously very experienced as well with all the winning they've done over the last decade or so. Nikita Kucherov has been unbelievable for Tampa. Going to be in the Hart Trophy conversation once again. He's played in 43 games this year. In only 6 of them, he doesn't have a point. I mean, he doesn't have a point in 6 of the 43 games. That's wild. He extended his point streak tonight to 9 games, which I believe might be the longest active streak in the NHL now. So he has 69 points in 43 games, on pace for 130. Then you got Brandon Hagel is up to 50 points in 45 games now for the Lightning. So Hagel has had a really nice season for Tampa Bay, on pace for 91 points. He's in year one of an 8-year contract with the Lightning. So really nice to see Hagel find a home in Tampa Bay, and a very good culture where he's being put in a situation where he's playing with guys like Kucherov and Braden Point and Jake Guentzel on a nightly basis. So Tampa Bay, they're a very good hockey team. The Hawks have been playing well against good teams lately, with Vegas and obviously Carolina tonight. The result didn't go their way, but they still played Carolina hard and picked up a point. And so we'll see what the Friday night matchup at the UC brings between Chicago and Tampa. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Frank Ruggieri. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our fearless Colonel Brett Jackson back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romaliotis signing off after a 4-3 Blackhawks overtime loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Friday night from the UC.